This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today is a National Day of Prayer and Remembrance for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Our next guest spent 8 days rescuing people from the flood. Lieutenant Kevin Judice works on the narcotics squad in New Iberia, which is about 100 miles away from New Orleans. He's been on the force for 10 years and served 6 years in the National Guard. Since New Iberia had no significant hurricane damage, a group from his police department was able to go to New Orleans. One of the things you did was evacuate critically ill patients from Charity Hospital. Would you describe what you saw when you got there and tell us what it was like to to evacuate the patients?
Sure. It, Charity Hospital is it's about 12 or 13 stories tall. We had to get to the top on the outside fire escape. Got to the top, made contact with the people up there, told them what we were there to do. They began preparing the people who had to leave right now, and that's what they did. They put them on backboards, secured them as best they could, and we carried them down, back down those 12 floors while they continued to work on them, continued to breathe for these people and things like that, and loaded them on boats, let the medical personnel on the boats, and brought them to the Superdome, which was not far away, where they were still at the time airlifting people from those ramps on the dome by helicopter to Baton Rouge, and we did that until we couldn't do it anymore. We really became physically exhausted. We just couldn't climb anymore, couldn't carry anymore. And at that time, it was getting it was dark, and the people we had left behind at the to guard everything were really becoming concerned about being able to exit safely. Mm-hmm. So we made one last trip to Charity. We actually stopped. We picked up some children. They were floating in a pool, a plastic pool, and picked them up, got them to the dome as well. And then we loaded the boats and went back to our command post.
You helped evacuate a prison.
Correct.
How did the prisoners respond to you? Did any of them, did they try to escape?
No, I don't know if any did actually escape, but no, I mean, there was not a single problem at all. I mean, it was so happy to see somebody. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter if it was law enforcement or anyone, that they'd have gone with anybody at that point because they had nothing. I mean, they were locked into a prison that they couldn't get out of, and it was flooded. It was underwater, and they were hanging signs from the windows, help, on and on and on. And when the prison officials saw us in the water, they asked if we could help. I mean, so, there were thousands. You're talking about 7,000 to 8,000 prisoners in this prison.
So where did you take the ones that you rescued? Where did you take them to?
Prison buses were there to take them out, to take them to Louisiana State Penitentiary or to various other correctional institutes, I mean, as they could get them. I mean, there were thousands that were just sitting on various overpasses. I mean, they were in bad shape. I'll tell you, I really felt for these guys because they were. I mean, I lost count of how many passed out. You know, as you're trying to, you bring them. And that day we were really in the water, and it was really getting bad. And you know, because we'd get them to a certain point where the boats could no longer get through. It was debris. It was railroad tracks, that kind of a thing. We'd have to get them in the water and actually walk them, you know, along a path that we had established was safe in the water, get them into an area, line them up until other buses could get there. And it took hours. I think we got about 3,000 out that day. And they brought water, they brought food. And, I mean, these guys hadn't eaten in 2 days. So, I mean, they were appreciative, and there's no doubt. I mean, they were extremely appreciative.
Do you feel like you were... How do you feel like you were changed by this experience?
I'll tell you, it's it's hard to say. I mean, it has really shown you your humanity. I can say that, you know. And when I got down there, it made me feel very, very small, that you were in the middle of a very big problem, and that, I mean, you know, we all tend to think of ourselves as the center of the universe sometimes, but it's really made me, you know, realize that we're not. We're part of a larger we're part of a larger community. We have to think that way. If we don't think that way, this is what happens. You know, I appreciate my. I always have. I've always been a very, big family person. It's the most important thing in my life. But after 8 days there and seeing my children, which I have three, and my wife again, it was sobering experience. You know, it made me just realize that I had something to come back to. You know, at any given time, I could turn the car around, tell them I've had enough, and I could drive home and stay there. Whereas, you know, these people couldn't.
Do you think of your job as a cop any differently now than you did before Katrina?
I'll tell you, it's been hard to get back into cop mode, if I can say it that way, into the law enforcement type mode, into going out and, I've had meetings with various citizens about different things, you know, about complaints in the areas, about, you know, there's loud music here, and, you know, there's people hanging out late at night here, and it's, you know, I had to sit through that and keep reminding myself that, you know, these are problems to these people, and not think that, you know, you really have no problems. You know, in the general scope of things, this is not a big problem for you. You know, if you could have seen what I saw and been where I've been, then you'd understand that, you know, loud music late at night is not really that big of a deal. That we're going to get to it and that we'll take care of it. But, you know, let's just remember what's happening down there even as we speak.
Let me just ask you one more thing before we wrap up. I know you were traveling through the stench of the waters in New Orleans. Have you gotten the smell out of your nose yet?
It took a while. It really did. I mean, that's the biggest thing, was that smell. It was this, and it's not just that that sewer smell. It was gasoline. I mean, it hit me in a big way a couple of days ago when I was putting gas in my police unit. That smell reminds me so much of being down there. I mean, you could see it on the water, just gasoline and diesel and other chemicals, just a film on the water everywhere you went. There was, hundreds of cars submerged. Some of them you could see, some of them you couldn't. And that smell mixed with that. With that sewer smell was overpowering, and any equipment we had that was in that water is gone. We've thrown it all away, and we're ordering brand new stuff. It's just it's unusable. It's contaminated, that gasoline smell is something that sticks with me.
Thank you very much for talking with us, and I wish you the best.
Absolutely, it's good talking to you too.
Lieutenant Kevin Judice spoke to us from New Iberia, where he works on the police department's narcotics division.